Apropos of his name and the upcoming Valentine's Day, we couldn't resist asking Steve Kissing about his thoughts on the upcoming holiday. Steve is Chief Creative Officer at Wordsworth Communication in Cincinnati, and his poems, stories, and essays have appeared in dozens of publications. He's written a childhood memoir, Running from the Devil, which is currently being adapted into a graphic novel, and has published a chapbook of poetry titled Survival of the Fittest. Steve, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So between your poetry, your chief creative officer credentials, and your name, we thought you would be well placed to give us some tips on writing to our loved one on Valentine's Day. Romantic, mushy, humorous, lighthearted. Yeah, what do you suggest?
Yeah, exactly. I say let your heart be your guide there, first and foremost. When we're sitting down to write a poem to someone we love, I think most of our tendencies are to go to something kind of deep and serious, and of course that's fine. But you can also have fun with the silly aspects of your relationship. I've even written poems for others that were in response to arguments and fights, and having a good time with those can be a way to express your love and the strength of your relationship, able to handle those little tiffs that we all get into now and then.
In your own life, have you written poems in both of those manners, and how were they received?
I have written poems of that type, and they were well received. They were basically poetic apologies. One talked about how, after having an argument, I stepped outside to kind of compose myself and walk around the neighborhood. And when I did that, I fell through a hole. It was the hole in my argument, and then through another hole that was the hole in my head that my wife claimed for years had always been there. And so that was sort of the nature of that piece, and it ended with an apology.
What do you think about the element of mystery, so to speak, in poetry? One of the things I appreciate about poetry is that very often a poem is left up to the reader's imagination.
Yes.
As to how to take it.
Yes, I like some level of mystery. I think that's always a sign of a good poem, that it leaves you wondering exactly what it's up to. You might have a general thrust for where it's going, but you could read it a second or a third time and pick something out of it that you missed. Kind of connected to the notion of mystery is surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, particularly as you wind the poem up and you come to the end, that you deliver a thought or an observation there that you wouldn't have anticipated as you began reading the piece. Yeah, the unexpected, right, can help make them just more interesting and charming and give them a layer of depth that the poem perhaps wouldn't otherwise have, right? If I just wrote that I went outside, collected my thoughts, and decided I needed to apologize, right, nowhere near as interesting.
I do think that many of us might think that a poem to someone you love would be mushy, for lack of a better phrase. And I'm wondering if there are some steps as a writer yourself that you take in terms of, you know, the first draft, say, of a romantic poem is mush, but then you, as you say, really bring your heart into it.
Typically, first drafts of love poems are going to be rather mushy or a little too sweet and sugary. You have to be careful about that. It's one of the things that will get a poem kicked out from the consideration pile if you were trying to get it published, if it's too sentimental. And it's so easy to go there with poetry in general, but particularly love poetry. So I find that just kind of getting that out and down on paper to begin with, then through editing, try to dial that back some and get it out of the mushy and the sentimental while still leaving some impact and some emotion. And it's tricky, right? Therein lies the rub. You know, that said, I encourage everyone to write poetry and tell them that virtually everything that they'll write, and this applies to myself as well, isn't going to be very good. You know, there's a lot of bad poetry out there, and I've contributed my fair share. But I also adhere to this point of view that says any honest, genuine attempt to sit down and write and to express yourself and to maybe communicate to someone how you feel about them, There's nothing bad about that, you know, at all. And so in that sense, I'm all for bad poetry, mine and others. And if nothing else, it just makes the truly technically great stuff shine all the brighter.
I would think going through the process also benefits the poet or the writer in this case in terms of exploring one's feelings and
yes.
trying to get, as you say, to the heart of it.
Exactly. And that's one of the most powerful things about writing poetry and why I enjoy it so much is that I find I learn things about myself and my world mm-hmm. in the process of doing it. And even if the poem goes nowhere, even if I'm not intending it for anyone, just the sheer act of writing and reflecting on something, and kind of looking beyond the obvious, it's a really delightful and insightful, you know, lens on the world. And I love writing poetry for just that reason.
I'm curious about your name because, you know, names can be a blessing or a curse. And so I'm wondering about the upside and the downside of being named Kissing.
Yeah, right. Well, as a young child, I was teased horrendously and bullied a little bit over that. Though, of course, as I got a little older and into high school, you try to make it work for you any way that you can. And then you get to the point where you just really don't think about it much. Though I have found that on most years, if I'm leaving a message for someone on Valentine's Day or near it, and I'm asked to spell my name, I get a lot of, yeah, right, Mr. Wise Guy, what's your real name? So it's easy to remember and spell, if nothing else.
Tell us, if you can, briefly, what a day in the life of a chief creative officer is about.
It's a wonderful life, and I'm lucky to have it and to be in a position where I spend the better part of my days generating ideas for the work that we do on behalf of our clients, and then helping people, my colleagues, evaluate and, where necessary, amend, refine, and strengthen their ideas so that they're as strategically sound as possible, as interesting as possible. We strive to generate what we refer to as clever ideas, which we define as being both strategically sound, but also creative and interesting, because it's not that difficult to come up with wacky ideas, right? But if they're not strategically sound for what this particular client or company is trying to do, what good does it serve? Same thing in reverse. If it's strategically sound, but not the least bit interesting, no one's going to pay attention anyway. So kind of a wasted effort. So trying to find that sweet spot. So,
in addition to that, you do fortunately still have time to write poetry. And I did read that you won high praise from Denise Duhamel, who writes that you, quote, embrace the thorny contradictions of postmodern life with a fierce and generous spirit. Lovely, lovely comment on your poetry. So if you would, I thought you might close our time tonight with a short but definitely sweet and hits the spot poem, and kind of a love poem in relation to everyday folks.
This one's called Ode to the Escalator and the Equally Consistent and Persistent. The stairs of the mechanical Sisyphus rise and fall like a breathing lung, a comforting rhythm, a dependable beat, a hymn for others also unsung.
Thank you. Thank you for your poetic thoughts about Valentine's Day, as well as your poetry, and for visiting with us tonight,
Steve. Most welcome. Thanks for having me.
I've been talking with Steve Kissing. You'll find more information about him in his memoir, Running from the Devil, at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.